Welcome to another episode of Reboot America. I'm Chintia Groshen. I'm here with my good friend David Smith. How are you, David?
Hello there. Good morning. We still got a couple minutes left in the morning.
Is that all? You usually have some little story, but that's okay.
No, I'm boring today. We've already had, an hour conversation or something like that.
You're right. We are already spent. Well, what we want to talk about today is the Iowa caucus. Now, this is something that you have certainly felt very strongly about, much more strongly than me, although I'm coming around to your point of view. And that is that Iowa simply is a waste of time and money for anyone seeking the GOP nomination. We're not going to be talking about the Democrats. Is that an accurate reflection of how you feel?
Yeah, pretty close. The thing about it is we've seen a lot of effort that has been laid out in Iowa, specifically by presumptive nominee or the leading nominee. And we don't always see the same person do well, meaning place first in the Iowa caucus and win the nomination and win the presidency. You know, we had a conversation offline a while back about strategy, and an article that I read that was talking about you can have a strategy that's either, you know, designed from the beginning, planned out, or you can also tell strategy by after the fact, a pattern emerging. And when you look at the results, and I'll stick to just the Iowa topic since that's what we're talking about. When you look at Iowa and you look at the people who have won the Iowa caucuses, and then you look at the people who have won...
Let me go a little bit into the history of Iowa.
Certainly.
Actually, Iowa is relatively new. It began for the Democrats in 1972. Just briefly, after the 1968 debacle, the Democrats decided to reorganize their primary schedule. And in 1972, they put Iowa first because it's a caucus, it's time consuming, so they let it go first. And then 4 years later, the Republican Party, in good form, because they always follow the Democrats' lead, they decided to follow suit. So the Iowa going first, the emphasis on the Iowa caucus began in 1976. I put together a little graphic to show who won Iowa, and then the New Hampshire winner, and then the eventual GOP nominee, which will be included in the show notes so that people can follow what we're saying. I did not include the years where there was an incumbent president because what's the point of discussing the fact that Donald Trump won in 2020 since he was the only one running in the GOP. There were only two instances where the Iowa winner actually went on to get the GOP nomination, and that was in 96 with Bob Dole and in 2000 with George W. Bush. In the last 23 years, no Iowa winner got the GOP nomination. So one has to wonder, why do so many consultants, why do so many campaigns, why is Ron DeSantis, just to bring it to present day, spending so much time in Iowa?
You know, I wish that you had included the, if you just imagine a visualization of this chart completed and then with who wins the presidency, there's not a pattern here. I mean, very early on, we have 1980.
In 1980, you had Ronald Reagan winning. And then in 88, you had H.W. Bush winning the presidency. In 2000, George W. Bush won. And then let's see. It wasn't until 2016 when Donald Trump won.
You don't have listed either who won Iowa in the general election. When you look back at that and just look across the list of all of these things, who wins the Iowa caucus, who wins the Republican nomination, and who wins the presidency, that combination there, we have a very long period of time now where I was talking about with the strategic thing earlier, the strategy thing. Iowa's not very important. I mean, when you're talking about guys like Rick Santorum, Ted Cruz recently, Mike Huckabee.
Yeah, I probably should have included those things. I guess I could always add it later, but...
I'm not being critical.
No, that's fine. I was just focusing on the GOP nomination when I put the chart together. But even when you look at the Iowa winner, how he performs in New Hampshire, I mean, it's a pathetic record. Mm-hmm. Not one of them won New Hampshire. I mean, you had 1980, 1988, 1986. I mean, really, none of the winners of Iowa go on to win New Hampshire.
It's very interesting.
You spend all your time, all your money, like Ron DeSantis is doing. Let's say you pull it off. You win the Iowa caucus. That gets you, what, a week or two of publicity, and then you go into New Hampshire, and if you fall flat in New Hampshire, it's pretty much over for you.
Well, and you get zero delegates in Iowa.
Yes.
You get zero delegates because it's just a caucus. It's not the primary. The primary comes later.
They don't have a primary later on. Now, we want to be accurate. What they do have is a series of state conventions, and that's when the delegates are actually awarded. And just to show you how ridiculous this entire process is, in 2012, Ron Paul came in third on caucus night, but he won the lion's share of the delegates, 22 out of 28. Mitt Romney, who came in second on caucus night, he got the remaining six. Rick Santorum, who won caucus night, got zero. That's how ridiculous this process is.
What you're talking about with New Hampshire, as I just look across the list here, you have a much higher correlation between 1980, Ronald Reagan wins New Hampshire, which is a primary, and he's the GOP nominee, and he won the election. 1988, George H.W. Bush wins New Hampshire, and he's the nominee, and he won the presidency in 88. With New Hampshire, you see a much higher degree of correlation between winning New Hampshire and, you know, winning the presidency. Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush. Let's see. George W. Bush did not win New Hampshire in 2000. John McCain did not win the presidency in 2008. Romney won New Hampshire and the nomination, but not the presidency in 12. And then 16, Donald Trump won New Hampshire and the nomination and the presidency. I mean, New Hampshire is vastly more indicative of who has staying power in terms of actually being able to win the general election versus comparing with a caucus in Iowa.
So why the obsession with Iowa? I just...
Brilliant lead-in question. I don't think...
Is it just force of habit?
You have a really, really great point about, and it's, I'm not sure if you're entirely serious or if it's a little bit snarky or both, but what Republicans are pushing and supporting is what Democrats were talking about 10 years ago.
It's not my original thought. It's just a meme that I've seen floating around the internet, and I agree. I think it's accurate. I agree with it.
And I wasn't aware of the history of the Iowa caucus until you brought it up. And it's just interesting to see that the Democrats were pushing for changes in their system and so forth. And the Republicans kind of went along with it. 72, the Democrats, and 76, the Republicans. So this isn't even something that we came up with or that we decided, well, we're going to do this. Once again, over that very long period of time, it has become an absolute bludgeon by which to just destroy Republican candidates for the presidency. And it's become a real problem. And nobody's talking about this. We're not talking about how unimportant this state is, and for us to be blowing all of the millions of dollars every 4 years, everybody who's running, which now seems to be like a 16-person affair every time, on our side of the aisle alone. And there are the Democrats hardly putting up a fight because I guess maybe they realize they're just as likely to win November general election Iowa. It's a 50-50 state. It's not a solid red state. It's very much up for grabs depending upon the candidate, depending upon, I don't know, economic circumstances, policies, especially agriculture policies. I don't know. But it's ridiculous that we are putting all of this emphasis into a state that it's just as likely to go for Barack Obama as it is for Donald Trump.
And this is really the downfall of Iowa. And that is that when you look at the demographics of the GOP caucus goers, it doesn't even reflect the Republican Party. I mean, in 2016, two-thirds of the GOP caucus goers, they were evangelical Christians. Now, I don't think that two-thirds of country or even the GOP electorate is evangelical Christian.
Well, figure that
and
you've got...
And what you see is... Okay, let me just finish. And we're seeing this in real time with Ron DeSantis. He's trying so hard to win Iowa that he hasn't been able to properly handle the abortion issue because the evangelical just want to hear one and one answer when it comes to that issue. He has tied himself to the position of unconditional support for Israel, again, to please the evangelicals in Iowa. And it's not going to give him any flexibility, especially when it comes to the issue of abortion during the general election. Then you look at someone like Nikki Haley, who is not focused on winning Iowa. She wants to do well enough, but she's not really focused on winning. I haven't heard about Nikki Haley putting a whole lot of time and effort and money into building an organization. I mean, she participates in the big events. Good for her. Doesn't cost her anything except her time. But she's not really trying to win Iowa. So she has been able to take a position on abortion, which frankly is much more acceptable to the broader GOP and to the broader general election electorate.
And that's the harm that Iowa does. It's like you said, it is used to bludgeon Republican candidates. Ron DeSantis is a perfect example of this. He was a multidimensional candidate. And today, he is a shadow of the candidate who entered the race back in May.
I'm just trying to figure out what to say in response, because you pretty well nailed it. You know, I told you the other day, I ran for Congress in 2010, and it's just one district. It's not comparable to what Ron DeSantis is doing. I got no media coverage. I had no money behind me and no name recognition. So by comparison, it's not comparable. But just rhetorically speaking, I basically outpolled where he is in the polls right now. Poll that just came out that you sent to me about New Hampshire, where Trump is way ahead. And then you have Nikki Haley at 18% and Ron DeSantis is at 7, I think it was. I think that even Chris Christie was polling ahead of him, if I remember correctly.
The latest poll, the Emerson poll, yes, he is behind Christie. There's Trump, there's Haley, there's Chris.
Which I kind of question that. But my point is, I outpolled what Ron DeSantis is running for right now. I mean, he is a governor of the third most populous state in the country. The state of Florida is a big deal. He's the governor. He's a former congressman. People know his name. He's got a hell of a, he had $100 million behind him or some stupid thing like that. And he's polling at less than half of my figures. This is not the Ron DeSantis of March. This is not the Ron DeSantis who just got reelected last year with, what was it, 60-40 in Florida?
Yes, I think it was, 20 points in Florida.
Yeah, I mean, huge. And he's allowed himself to, quite frankly, to become a caricature of what we had hoped early on that he was going to be. Doing our first couple of episodes, we were joking about the weather cancellation of Donald Trump, DeSantis showing up there and having an event a couple blocks away. Hey, this is a completely different, this might as well be Ron Paul at this point, really.
To be fair to Ron Paul, I think he has a much more dedicated following than Ron DeSantis. But I just now looked at the latest just national poll, which is on Real Clear Politics. And The Economist, YouGov, which just came out, Trump is at 57, DeSantis is at 19, and Haley is at 9. This is the most successful GOP governor that we had since Reagan. And here he is. He's just struggling. I mean, in Iowa, he is 18 again, and Haley is right behind him at 15. In New Hampshire, Trump is at 49, Haley 18, Christie 9, DeSantis 7. And from what I can tell from the DeSantis campaign, they're not changing. Is it really necessary to visit the 99 counties in a state that doesn't even award delegates on caucus night? Is that a smart strategy?
Well, I think the DeSantis campaign is just kind of playing a page out of the standard accepted Republican playbook. And I've said this before, I don't know if this is something that the Republican Party is just following because Karl Rove in 2004 with George W. Bush did this or said, we have to go to Iowa. I don't know if the people that they're going to have as quote unquote the consultants are ones who follow the playbook and follow orders and go to Iowa and, you know, take their marching orders from Karl Rove, or if it's coming from donors directly, I don't know. But at this point, as I was saying with the strategy conversation earlier, we now have a pattern that shows that Iowa is not necessary either for the nomination or in November to win. Nice to have, but you can win without it. We put in all of this effort trying to, our candidates for the presidency, for the nomination, trying to win the support of the evangelicals in Iowa, because like you said, they're two-thirds evangelical. Now, if those are the people that we're trying to win the vote of, and we're having to make promises to them and tell them that we're going to do what they want, that's, like you said, that's not in line with the entire rest of the Republican Party. Now, take Mitt Romney as an example. You had some really interesting things to say, and I know you've said this before, but you were saying the other day about your initial response to Mitt Romney early on before we really got going in Iowa, and then what Iowa did to him. Go off on that for a minute. Talk about that.
Well, I don't know about going off on Mitt Romney, but when I first heard of him, he had been governor of Massachusetts. His reputation was one of a great businessman, very successful in the private sector, a successful executive, successful governor of a blue state. He was more moderate on social issue. It was the type of candidate that I could get behind. And I mean, when you think of what a president should look like, Mitt Romney is straight out of central casting. So he checked a lot of boxes. And then he went to Iowa. I don't know who advised him to do this, but he decided he was going to compete with Mike Huckabee, a former evangelical pastor, on social issues. And Mitt Romney started flipping and flopping and changing so many of his stances to the point where he lost all credibility in my eyes. I thought, if this man is this willing to ditch everything that he believed in supposedly a couple of days ago, this is not someone I can trust. In the end, he didn't even fool the evangelicals. He lost Iowa. Mitt Romney was never a culture warrior. He was never comfortable trying to be a culture warrior. And in the end, all that he gained from that experience was the reputation as a flip-flopper. And frankly, I'm seeing the same thing happening to Ron DeSantis. He came on the scene as a successful governor, a great executive. And what is he doing now? He's talking abortion. And, of course, because of the Gaza conflict, he's talking Israel, 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 Israel.
66% of American voters want a ceasefire.
I thought it was higher than that, actually.
Among Democrats is 80%, Independents is 57%, and Republicans, 56%. It doesn't matter whether you are a Democrat, a Republican, or an Independent. The majority of voters want a ceasefire. And yet, because Ron DeSantis is trying to win Iowa, he can't say that, which I don't think that that's a position that is going to be appealing to very many Americans
outside the evangelical rapture crowd. But guess what? Both Romney and DeSantis, they both traveled in 99 counties.
Hey, that's something. I don't know what, but that's something. I mean, I know this episode is not about DeSantis specifically, but the emphasis on Iowa that he's placing is robbing him in other places, and it has definitely impacted him, I think. I think he needed to concentrate on New Hampshire because he was doing well there initially. I think, if I remember correctly, he was at, 26% versus Trump? Like one or the other, like he was at 22 and Trump was at 26 in one early poll or something like that? I don't remember.
Let me pull up the, let's see.
Certainly a lot closer and a lot tighter. And Trump was not just running away with it.
In June, DeSantis was actually a little bit ahead by 2 points. This was University of New Hampshire. This was done mid-June, so shortly after he came in.
Okay, so I'm remembering correctly then.
Yeah, you are remembering correctly. Even in July, Ron DeSantis was, let's see, Trump was 37, DeSantis was 23. Mm-hmm. He just cratered.
I mean, every time that I was going to Iowa, I would be stopping by New Hampshire on the way there. And I mean, just get activists together for like those that event that I actually met Mitt Romney, shook his hand, got a picture with him, heard heard him speak for a few minutes and he ate barbecue, blah, blah, blah. Just events like that. Give them an opportunity to shake Ron DeSantis' hand and get a picture with him. Show up and do stuff like that.
Traveling the 99 counties is a waste of time.
Completely.
Ron DeSantis could have just done the big events, the state fair, the Freedom Fest, or whatever other big forum that they have in Iowa.
Yeah.
Another thing he could have done talk radio, which doesn't require you to be in the state. But don't put all this emphasis into winning the Iowa evangelical, which frankly do not represent the majority of the Republican Party. Heck, they don't even represent the majority of evangelicals within the Republican Party. In 2016, Ted Cruz made a big play for the evangelicals in Iowa, thinking that winning the evangelicals there meant winning evangelicals in states like Alabama, like South Carolina. Ted Cruz won Iowa, but guess who won South Carolina? It was Donald Trump. Guess who won Alabama? It was Donald Trump. Donald Trump did extremely well on Super Tuesday. Outside of the Iowa caucus, even evangelicals don't vote the same way. And this is what's so amazing to me. If you and I can sit here at a distance and just looking at the information that it's available on the web for everybody, why can't Ron DeSantis' consultants see it?
Well, you would hope that they do, but it's like, why don't you act on it? If you look at this, I mean, we're looking at the same information.
Exactly.
If you're looking at this stuff and you're seeing the history there, and if you're talking about the percentages of where did you start and where are you a month and 6 months later, you're looking at the same information. Why aren't you? We said it from the start, you have to have a strategy in place to deal with Donald Trump, and they don't have a strategy on how to deal with Iowa, much less Donald Trump.
As things stand right now, Nikki Haley is much, much better positioned than Ron DeSantis. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's true. If she comes in third in Iowa, which is likely to happen, then she goes to New Hampshire and she comes in second, which that's where she's polling right now, while Ron DeSantis has fallen to fourth place. Then she goes to South Carolina, which is her state. Tim Scott dropping out is bound to help her more than any other candidate in South Carolina. And if she wins South Carolina, then at that point, she will be the clear alternative to Donald Trump. Because let's face it, the competition right now is between DeSantis and Haley as to who will be the alternative to Donald Trump. Like I said, she's in a much better position than Ron DeSantis because she looked at the whole schedule while Ron DeSantis was focused on Iowa, Iowa, Iowa.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting case study to kind of look at who have her consultants been over the last year, who's been in her ear, who's telling her to do what, when, where, because there's something different being done on her campaign than is being done with DeSantis' campaign. And it's been pretty much since the beginning because she was polling at practically zero at the beginning. She's been under-polling Vivek Ramaswamy until like the second or third debate.
She was very clever, especially with the issue of abortion, saying, look, at the national level, we need to look at a consensus instead of Ron DeSantis, who just repeats the talking point. We want to have a culture of life. What Ron DeSantis needed to say about the abortion issue is, as president, I don't expect to do anything because it's not a federal issue, and let it die there. But when you're trying to win the two-thirds evangelical in Iowa, you can't say that.
And again, when the two-thirds evangelical participation in the caucuses in Iowa are out of line with New Hampshire, you can't say that before one audience and then go before the next audience and it appeal to them.
While we were talking, I did look up the record as to how Iowa voted in the general election. In other words, whether or not they voted for the eventual winner. And looking at 1988, H.W. Bush, he won the presidency, but he lost Iowa in the general election.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. In 2000, guess what? George W. Bush, he lost Iowa in the general election, but won the presidency. So then let's jump over to, I think that Donald Trump won Iowa. Yeah, he won Iowa. So really, even in the general election, if you are a geo-presidential candidate, you can lose Iowa and still go on to win the election. This emphasis on Iowa
just doesn't make any sense. If you are a Republican running for president, it doesn't make any sense if you're trying to win the nomination. It doesn't make any sense if you're trying to win the general election. It's like you've been saying, it's totally irrelevant.
Well, I'm glad you've completely come around to my perspective then, it sounds like. So
you were talking about it. And then lately, looking at DeSantis and what has happened to him, I decided to do a little digging and I was like, David is right. It just doesn't make any sense. Well, anyway, I think that's pretty much what we wanted to cover today, right?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
So let me just end with this. Do you think Ron DeSantis will win Iowa?
Are you kidding? What are you looking at even asking that question? I don't know how a person could actually answer that question in the affirmative. Win? No. At this point, I don't think that he's going to win any state because Donald Trump is just too close to that tipping point of 50% in every state. It's kind of a matter of, does he win the winner-take-all delegate states, or is it going to actually have to be split up between he and whoever attains whatever the percentage is in each state? But win Iowa? No.
Can you imagine putting all this effort and just coming in second in Iowa to the guy that hasn't really even campaigned there and is sitting in court most of the time? Ron DeSantis. It's a shame. It's a real shame to see what has happened to him.
I really hope that he's learned his lesson and he goes and licks his wounds for a little while. Where did I go wrong? What needed to happen here? I hope that he's got some recognition of the answer to that question. And when he starts looking at, do I run in 2028 or do I go and pack it in, go make some money and do some stuff and, you know, watch my kids grow up? I hope when he answers that question that we don't lose him. I hope that he runs in 2028, but he has to handle things completely differently.
Maybe we should do an episode really talking about his campaign, about what went wrong.
Yeah.
In terms of Iowa, you were 100% right, and I was kind of wrong.
This caucus just needs to go away. If Democrats aren't making a focus on that, if Democrats aren't using that as their key focal thing, then we don't need to either. I mean, they're about to shun New Hampshire in favor of South Carolina. The first two states now that we're focusing on, Democrats are completely writing them off.
And that's the light at the end of the tunnel, because the Democrats are ditching Iowa. Mm-hmm. So now there is a real prospect of the GOP doing the same, because the GOP will not do it because of what we said, essentially looking at the evidence, coming to logical conclusion. The GOP will not do that. But if the Democrats go ahead and ditch Iowa, which is what they've done this year, I'm pretty sure in 4 years, the GOP is going to follow suit. But anyway, it's always great talking to you. Until next time.
Yes, ma'am. You as well. Sorry. No fancy snarky comment at the end.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.